Well, a couple of years ago in our art gallery here at Webster Groves Christian Church, we had a show that was entitled Bottles and Bowls, and it was glasswork created by our own member, Mike Moran. There were wonderful shapes, bottle shapes and bowl shapes, beautiful, light-catching, inviting shapes. After that show, Mike left this bowl with us. And one of the things that Mike said at the prelude to that show and in the midst of the opening was that oftentimes when somebody creates a bowl or a bottle out of glass or any other material, the first thing somebody does when they see it is asks, "What's it for?" Mike, the artist and architect, responded, "Well, does it have to be for anything? Can it just be a shape for the sake of shape? Can it take space? Can it catch light? Can it be there for its own aesthetic purpose?" And that was part of the conversation around that art show, bottles and bowls. What are they for? That's a question you can ask, and a question maybe that only the owner or user of the bottle or bowl can answer. But it's also a question that in some cases, because of the possibility that the bowl is just a beautiful bowl, it's an unnecessary question. There are lots of things you could use a bowl for. Placed properly upon a head, it can be a guide for a haircut, as was the case in my childhood. Placed properly upon a table, it could be a receptacle for candy for Halloween, for the celebration of All Saints' Eve. Happy All Saints' Day, by the way. A day to remember not only those people of faith who've gone before us, people who have been beloved in our lives, like Virginia Smith and so many others, but also a celebration of the presence of God's Spirit here in the midst of us, those who have been called to lives of holiness. Well, today is the Empty Bowls event for Webster Rock Hill Ministries. And as I was reading Psalm 146 in preparation for today, there was an empty bowls flyer on my desk, and I kept looking at it and looking at Psalm 146 and looking at it and thinking about the bowls from Mike's show, and it occurred to me that empty bowls can be of great value. They can be of aesthetic value. They can be of value because of their color, their shape, and their size, and their form. Mike was right about that. But that bowls change when they are filled and when they are shared. And I started thinking about the idea of praise that we see in Psalm 146 and the idea of praise that we see throughout the Psalter. And it occurred to me that while empty bowls can be wonderful, beautiful pieces of art, there's no such thing as wonderful, beautiful, empty praise in the Bible. Praise in the Bible must have content. Psalm 146 makes this perfectly clear. It starts off innocently enough, as do so many psalms. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. How many times have you heard that uttered by so many different people? Maybe it's the lady who reads the Bible on your bus. Maybe you saw it on TV. Maybe you've watched a show called PTL. Praise the Lord. But just as every other indication of praise for the God of the Bible, so Psalm 146 cannot exist as empty praise, no matter how beautiful that notion is. Praise in the Bible always has content. It goes something like this. Praise God and not other people or political systems, because God is eternal and they are not. kings and rulers are mortal. They will pass away. Praise God, because God is creative and brings the world and indeed the worlds into being. Praise God for creative power. And praise God because God in God's holiness is just. God cares for the widow, the orphan, the stranger, the immigrant, the hungry, the sick, the poor. Praise for God is directed at God because of who God is. God is to be praised because of God's character. Time and time again in the Hebrew Scriptures and in our own Christian Testament, God's character is the reason for praise. And God's character is repeated over and over and over. Dozens and dozens and hundreds of times, God's character as one who establishes justice in the world. Not retributive justice, you did this to me, so I'm going to get you. But distributive justice and restorative justice. The world has enough for everyone, therefore it should be shared. Those who don't have enough must find restoration through others and reconciliation through repaired relationships. We read about that in Exodus. We read about it in Deuteronomy. We read about it throughout the Judges. We read about it in the stories of the kings, in the Proverbs, in the Psalms, throughout the prophets. And Jesus himself, again and again and again, talks about the purpose of praise. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus twice quotes Hosea 6:6. He prefaces these quotes by letting those who are listening know they do well to know what this means. That God desires mercy, not sacrifice. Our praise cannot just be praise, no matter how beautifully we do it, if it doesn't have the content of God's just character, if it doesn't have a direction of showing mercy to the world in the name of God, its aesthetic value has diminished and indeed vanished. That's not true for all kinds of gods that could be praised. Scholars of antiquity have found again and again and again that there were many gods in antiquity who could be praised and to whom sacrifices could be made that did not require indications of that god's character in the lives of the people. So, for instance, if you wanted Zeus to do nice things for you, you could pour out libations or you could sacrifice bulls. And if Zeus did not do the things that you wanted, maybe the next year you would choose not to pour out libations and not to sacrifice bulls. It was a sort of tit-for-tat sort of thing. I want this from this god, therefore I'll give this. If I don't receive from this god, maybe I don't give as much. However, if this god blesses me, or if I think I can appease this god a little more, I will give sacrifices and praise. Sometimes I think we're doing the old other god of antiquity dance instead of participating the way that we're called to participate with the God of justice as we give our praise. Empty praise is praise the Lord for the sake of praise the Lord. Biblical full praise is praise the Lord for the sake of those whom God loves. Praise the Lord for the sake of God's holiness, which is a creative and just holiness. Praise the Lord by participating in the work of the Lord in the world, caring for the oppressed, the imprisoned, the poor, the hungry, the sick, the orphan, the widow, the immigrant. Our praise must be full praise. It must be practiced in our daily lives in order to have meaning. Our praise cannot, must not, should not be empty. That means something incredibly important, people of God. It means that when we sing and say words of praise together here in this place, they are a primer for us to lives of faithfulness. They are a prelude to acts of service. Our praise becomes filled with the presence of our response to God when we reach out to others. Our praise becomes full of God's glory reflected in us as representatives of God's image when we feed those who are hungry, when we reach out to those who are oppressed, when we struggle against violence with statements and actions of nonviolence. When we rage against systems of oppression, when we name truths and stand for them. Psalm 146, like so many other psalms, is a call to lives lived with fullness of praise. This empty bowl sits in our gallery area on Steve's desk. Sometimes it just sits there empty and it's beautiful. The light moves around the contours of the bowl. Sometimes it sits on that desk filled with candy, and then it's even more beautiful, it seems, to some. Sometimes it's filled with pens, other times it's filled with notes. But it's always beautiful and often useful. A bowl like this could come in very handy today as a vessel to contain praise. If you were to go to the empty bowls function today, if you were to give money to the work of Webster Rock Hill Ministries so that some of our neediest neighbors could receive love and sustenance and neighborliness from us. An empty bowl filled with food, passed on to your own life, could be an act of praise. Bowls can be beautiful whether they're empty or full. Praise, it seems, at least for followers of Jesus, cannot be beautiful if it's devoid of justice, if it's devoid of mercy, if it does not consider the orphan, the widow, the immigrant, the stranger, the poor, the oppressed, the prisoner, the sick. This day and all days, we are called to be people of praise, to have the praise and worship of God on our lips, and have the fullness of God's grace in our hands that we might share it with others. What does that mean? It means the praise can't stop here. Indeed, it can't start here either unless it's filled with understandings of justice. Unless we understand the character of the God we worship, we won't understand the lives of faith to which we are called. There's so many opportunities for fullness of praise in our lives. They happen when we realize that the abundance in our own lives can be the answer to lack in the lives of others. When we realize that our understandings about creation can be shared with a world in so much need. When we realize that to praise God is to love the world that God has created. Turns out God has enough bowls and enough wine and enough gold and enough altars and enough of all those kinds of things that we might beautifully give God as praise. What the world doesn't quite have enough of, it seems, is mercy. And so Jesus says in Matthew, echoing the words of Hosea, God desires mercy, not just sacrifice. This week, I encourage you to take praise from this place into the world. Praise God by reaching out to others in need. Praise God by showing and giving mercy. Praise God by speaking and standing for justice. Praise God by coming alongside other people and listening and learning with them. Praise God with a fullness of heart that allows us to let go of those things that we hold on to so tightly because of fear. Praise God with an openness of spirit that allows us to learn from others. Praise God with our voices, yes, but with our hands and feet as well. Yesterday, I was at the Beloved Community Conference at St. John's United Church of Christ, a prelude to response to the Ferguson Commission's report, talking about very important issues in our region, talking about racial justice, talking about economic opportunity, talking about putting youth at the center, talking about so many important pieces, justice for all, pieces of our lives together. One of the speakers said this, and I knew it just had to be said this morning. Do not ask God to guide your steps if you're not willing to move your feet. Do not ask God to guide your steps if you're not willing to move your feet. Sisters and brothers in Christ, our praise will be empty praise if it is not filled with our commitment to an understanding of God's character as an establisher of justice, as a bringer of mercy, as a creator of good. If our praise does not transform our lives, it will be empty. And unlike this bowl, which is just beautiful enough, empty or filled, our praise will have no beauty unless it's full of mercy, full of justice, and full of love. Thanks be to God.